I said I wanted to be respectful of my guest and his time. Joining us right now from The Athletic, covering your New York Rangers and the Isles, it's Arthur Staple. Hello again, Art.
What's up, Keith? How we doing?
Good, good. With all of this free agent frenzy going on, not in the NBA, we'll do that later, I'm like, I got to bring somebody in that knows what's going on, because as I have been really learning more about hockey in the last 3 years that I've been on WFAN, I know the players on the Devils, but I don't know the entire league yet. It takes time to learn all the different players. Like, the Devils are going to play everybody a handful of times. Like, it takes time to really learn who is who and what is what. So even as I see, and we'll start with the Devils first, because I know the Devils fans that I talk to online are itching for some Devils conversation on The Fan. You know, my guy Pete Albeats over there at the Devils, he sends me the emails. And just in the last, like, couple months, the Devils have made so many moves. Obviously, we know they have a new coach. Obviously, we know they have a new goalie. But today, they made some moves where I'm just like, okay, I need to know exactly what this means. So, I know you know. I will toss it to you. I know Pesci is from the area. I was just talking to Rich Ackerman about him. And I remember seeing him, obviously, with the Hurricanes. And I know that the Rangers fans know about him. Brett Pesci is a veteran. And here's what I'll say before I throw to you, because you can speak to it better than me. I feel like the Devils have made such a real effort to get some veterans on this team and bulk up the defense of this team. And I can't wait to see the changes with this team and how they look on the ice in October.
Yeah, they, you know, you give credit to Tom Fitzgerald for recognizing that maybe they jumped the gun a little bit a couple of years ago when they beat the Rangers, you know, had such a good regular season, got out into the second round, and really weren't competitive against Carolina then, but I think they, you know, maybe some fans and maybe some guys on the team, because it's a very young core of that team, felt like, okay, we've arrived. And then injuries, poor play, having to rush some of their quality young prospects, guys like Luke Hughes and Simone Nemitz, into positions maybe they weren't quite ready for on defense, the lack of decent goaltending, it all kind of came up and bit them last year, missed the playoffs. A real setback, you'd say, but with their cap space, with their need for a goaltender, you know, you do give credit to Tom Fitzgerald. I think he recognized he's been the GM there for a few years. You can't be complacent. You can't just wait for your young guys to get it. He went out, retooled completely. You know, they're going to get Dougie Hamilton back healthy this year, but you're not just going to see what the young kids can do again on D. It's too important a position. You're not going to see what you've got in net. Too important a position to go out and trade for Jacob Markstrom. Not a huge cost to get him. And then really aggressive in free agency. Brett Pesci, like you said, he's a local guy. You know, he's had a really good run in Carolina, a team that plays a certain style and plays it well, that style the Devils want to play. Aggressive all over the ice, fast up and down the ice. And then you get a really solid guy in Brendan Dillon, a bit more of a stay-at-home guy, but he's a veteran. He's a good presence. You know, and then even adding Stefan Nason, who's been in the Devils organization before, had a really good run in Carolina. You know, Carolina's not really gotten over the hump yet, but they've been so good for so long. You get guys from that program and bring them in, you know, to a Devils team that needs a little bit of structure and guys that know how to play the system. You've got Sheldon Keefe, who's a good coach in there. It's potentially the best turnaround right now on paper of any team in the league.
Ooh, you get me hyped up. I'm just like, I don't know. I wasn't a hockey guy too much, but I'm getting the itch more and more, because what changed for me, Art, was going to live games. It's just such a different environment watching it there than watching it on TV. No disrespect to the Devils broadcast on MSG. They do a great job. And or any broadcast, but like the energy you feel when you're in the arena and when you're watching that puck and following the puck and watching these guys skate and hit, I don't know, it's just different. I'm geeked up now, because like this team is stronger now. This team, you know, last year, two things. I would go to games, Devils down 1-0 right away. It's like, even watching the game, it's like you're always fighting uphill. There's always a deficit. Right away, you can bet on first goal, bet somebody on the other team. The Devils were always down 1-0, and then also fans were trying, you know, they were trying to get Lindy out of there. They were trying to get him out of there. So now you have Sheldon Keefe, you have Jacob Markstrom, who Jacob Markstrom, a bunch of people were telling me, oh, he's not that great. I'm like, he's better than Akira Schmid. He's better than Vitek Vanacek. And now bolstering the defense in front of him, we're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a, you know, even the moves they made at the deadline when they weren't able to pull off a trade for Markstrom, getting Jake Allen, who's a guy, another veteran guy who's been around in net, really good backup 1B type guy. You know, he played pretty well down the stretch for them. It's a more professional program they've got there now. You know, you've got Jack Hughes, you've got Jesper Bratt, you've got Nico Hischier. These are the core guys. These are the guys that people pay to come see.
Pun intended. Jack has to have a good year coming off of that line. He'll never live it down. He's got to come out and have a hell of a year after that.
He does. But he's got a much better supporting cast around him. And you know, and I think every team that's got young guys at its core goes through this, where you take a step and maybe you think you're there and you take your foot off the gas a little bit. And obviously the injuries, you know, really, really walloped them last year. But I think the mindset is going to be very different. Sheldon Keefe, you know, wasn't able to get it done with a young core in Toronto, but he's a very good coach. He's well-regarded. I think the Devils, you know, when the Leafs decided to move on from him, the Devils were right in the middle of their search, kind of fell into their laps. He was one of the last guys standing of the veteran coaches. And I think the mix is going to be good. And I think you get off to a better start to the season. Guys are a little bit more on their toes, knowing we've got some new guys in here who are veterans, who are used to being in successful teams. You've got a coach who's used to winning. I just think the whole attitude, I think, there has changed quite a bit.
We're on the phone right now with Arthur Staple. He's a New York hockey columnist for The Athletic, covering the Rangers and the Isles. Let's talk about the Rangers. They made a couple moves, too. So coming off a loss in the Stanley Cup, but a great Stanley Cup final. Sam Carrick has signed a 3-year deal with the New York Rangers. And they also made a trade, as I go back to my notes. They acquire Riley Smith in a trade with the Penguins. What do those two guys do to help bolster the Rangers group that we already know is one of the best in the game?
Yeah, you know, I think given some of the move that they made leading up to this, getting, you know, putting Barkley Goodrow on waivers, getting rid of his cap hit, going to San Jose, you know, a guy who he'd only been here 3 years, but was a core guy, alternate captain, and, you know, some of the talk about maybe trying to trade their captain, Jacob Trouba, that didn't come to fruition, but the talk has certainly been pretty frequent and out there. And, you know, that they're trying to make some changes. I think they understand that even getting to two conference finals in the last 3 years, this is the Rangers. Chris Drury knows who his boss is. You got to win. You know, when James Dolan says we need to win, you got to win. And getting close is not quite good enough. And, you know, they've had a core there for a few years now that hasn't quite gotten them through the postseason, the key parts of the postseason. So seeing Drury be very aggressive in breaking up some of the core, or trying to break up some of the core, it's an interesting move. And you wondered, did they free up enough money to really be a big player? And it didn't quite seem like, you know, I think there was a bit of a flirtation with Patrick Kane, but he decided to stay in Detroit. A couple other guys that might have fit the top six a little bit differently than Riley Smith. But Riley Smith is he's a guy in his early 30s, didn't quite work out for him in Pittsburgh. He'd been in Vegas for a long time and won a Stanley Cup there, and has been a guy who's a money playoff player going back almost a decade when he was with Florida. So he's, you know, he can bring the goods. And I think, you know, Carrick is a good fourth line guy. He's a crasher and a banger and brings the physicality, kind of a guy who you could replace Goodrow with at a much cheaper cost. So, you know, I think maybe fans were expecting a few more fireworks from them today, and maybe there's a chance to still do that this week, or even further into the offseason. But, you know, you always got to remind yourself, even though the disappointment of them losing in the conference final to the Panthers, this is a team that won the President's Trophy. They got out of the gate 18-3-1 last year. They've got really good players in a lot of key positions who had very good years last year. So, you know, you don't want to get too crazy with let's break it up, let's blow it up. So I'm curious to see what else they do in this offseason, or if this is it and they kind of keep a little bit of cap space going into the season and going through. Maybe somebody shakes out in a trade where you see you have a hole. That's kind of the way Drury's operated the last couple of years. But I think kind of what it says is this core, guys like Mika Zibanejad, guys like Artemi Panarin, Igor Shesterkin, Adam Fox, who all had really good stretches, and you know, for Panarin was an MVP candidate, but in the crunch time in the playoffs, maybe some of those guys weren't quite up to the level they need to be. Now you're still relying on them. You're still counting on those guys. They take up a lot of cap space. They're still the core of this team, and the regular season is important, but I think everybody understands even more so now what's the most important thing for the Rangers, and that's getting all the way to the promised land.
Yes, sir. I think they'll be right back. I don't expect the Panthers to repeat. Obviously, the Hurricanes now losing some of their guys. They're weakened, or I expect them to not be as strong, losing some of their guys. And, you know, this window that the Rangers have been in the last few years, I think it's going to be, you know, great for this area too with the Islanders and the Devils. Why do Rangers fans hate Jacob Trouba so much?
You know, to me, it's that I think hockey fans, it's probably all sports fans, they love their team so much that when things start to go south with one player, especially a guy who's a core player like Trouba is, it's just main character syndrome. It's all of their frustrations about the team, whether it's with the, you know, sometimes with the goaltending, sometimes with the coach, GM, whoever. If you find a guy who's not performing up to his standards, has a big contract, I think it's like a magnet. It just attracts all the negativity. So, you know, this situation with him is kind of a sensitive one. You know, he is the captain. He does have a big cap hit, $8 million next year and the year after. And the Rangers asking for his no trade list. It's, you know, he's kind of the minutiae of the contracts. He had a no move clause, which means they couldn't trade him without his permission. It goes to a 15-team no trade list as of today. The Rangers seemed like they were trying to nudge him in the direction of a trade even before this no trade clause kicked in, and he wasn't going for it. So, you know, now you look at the situation with him. If they want him gone, does he decide, all right, they don't want me here, I should just go and take the best deal I can, or does he risk it the way that Barkley Goodyear did, and maybe you end up in a place you don't really want to be, a place where you got no chance to win. So this is going to be something to watch all offseason. If he's still here when training camp rolls around, you know, there's going to be some hurt feelings, I would guess, between the captain and the front office, and I don't know how long you want that to linger. So it's definitely intriguing to see kind of the power moves that guys make with the clauses that they earn and, you know, they bargain for, and what the team can do to kind of get around it. And he's still a Ranger right now. We'll see if that lasts through the next few weeks.
Last thing for you, Art, so we don't forget about those Isles fans. I was just on ESPN looking at their free agency tracker, and they just wrote, the Islanders have finally entered the chat. Defensiveman Mike Riley is coming back on a one-year contract. Anthony Duclair is heading back to the Metropolitan Division by way of a four-year, $14 million deal. You know, I mentioned them being a playoff team. I mentioned them being in the running next year when we're going to have three teams in this area that we think could potentially get to the playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, Stanley Cup final. Any other moves coming up for them that you could predict? And what do you think about what they just did?
You know, I like what they did. They came into today, I think, with the least cap space of almost any team in the league. They were only working with about $5.8 million, which is, you know, you could use that up on half a guy at some of these prices that players are getting on the first day of free agency. So I think it was a couple of shrewd moves by Lou Lamoriello. Mike Riley was a guy they picked up on waivers early last season when they were hit with injuries. You know, he's been around the league a lot as a, you know, 30-year-old defenseman. He seemed to fit pretty well, especially when Patrick Waugh came in a couple months after that. You know, Riley's an offensive defenseman. He moves the puck well. That's what the style of game that Patrick Waugh wants from his D, and he's really one of the better guys to do it on this D core. So it seemed like a good fit. $1.25 million, not a big number against the cap. So, you know, I think that's just a little stability there, which is something the Islanders and Lou Lamoriello like. And then Duclair, the guy, you know, Ranger fans know him well. He was a Ranger draft pick, 19 years old, made his debut a decade ago now for the Rangers when they were kind of in their heyday of mid-2010s of being really good. He's bounced around a lot. I don't know that his game away from the puck is super strong, but I think he's become a very reliable scorer. He's a fast guy. And I think for the Islanders, looking for a guy to fit on their top line with Matthew Barzal and Bo Horvat. You know, Duclair started last year in San Jose, one of the worst teams in the league. He managed 16 goals there. Tampa traded for him and put him on a line with Nikita Kucherov, who was the leading scorer in the league. And Duclair ended up with 15 points in 17 games there. So you see a guy who can keep up with top-line players, with creative players like Kucherov. Barzal's not a Kucherov, but he's in the ballpark. So you like what he brings. And you know, sometimes you go into free agency and you end up getting a little older, and this is already a pretty old core. A lot of guys over 30. Duclair's only 28. He feels like he's been in the league 100 years, because this, I think, is going to be his ninth team. But he does bring the speed. He's a skilled guy, and he's got some familiarity with Patrick Waugh, who coached him in juniors almost a dozen years ago in Quebec. So I think there's a lot to like about this signing. And when you go into a free agency day with that little cap space, you got to be smart about what you do. And I think Lou Lamoriello was smart. If he's going to do anything else, which I still think they're not quite at the level of the Rangers, and maybe not even at the level of Devils with all the moves they've made, somebody's going to have to go. They got to move somebody off the roster to create a little more cap space. And I don't know that they have that in mind, because they do like their core. You know, it's a very tight-knit group. That doesn't always satisfy the fans to know that these guys like each other that much, but we'll see where they can take it. You know, I think for them, Ilya Sorokin, their goalie, was a Vezina Trophy candidate 2 years ago, had a pretty down year last year, ended up only playing one of the playoff games for them. If he has a bounce-back year, that'll go a long way towards helping them in a full year with Patrick Waugh, full training camp with his philosophy and his ideas. You know, it sounds a little like excuse-making, because they didn't really do a whole lot, but I think with some of the tweaks that they made, they could still be a contender in that division.
Awesome. Art, you're the man. I appreciate your insight, and I appreciate you, and thank you for joining us tonight.
You got it, Keith. Anytime.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Arthur Staple.